There, that's in the New Testament. It is right before 2 Thessalonians. I think everybody probably knew that, though. So 1 Thessalonians, the Lord kind of laid something upon my heart, and I was looking at it and trying to see. So I think we're going to break it up into two different messages. There's about 5 or 6 points here. We're only going to go over 2 tonight, and I think you'll understand where I'm going. There's a lot of subpoints underneath it. In 1 Thessalonians, you see Paul has, once he got right with God, once he got saved, he went on the missionary journeys. And Paul traveled throughout all different parts of the world. He went into the European continent, and when he got there, he went to a place called Thessalonica. And after he went and he planted churches, what he would do, most of us will know, that he would write letters back to them to try to encourage them and to exhort them and sometimes to rebuke them. And here, that's what you get 1 Thessalonians from. He is writing this letter to a church that he helped plant and helped start pretty much by himself. And, you know, he won those people to Christ. He discipled those people to Christ. And then he placed leadership in the church. And then he would go to another area and go to another area. And because he could not be in all these different spots, he would write letters back and forth. Most of us would know those books or these letters that we find as epistles. So that's what we have is the epistle here. It's a letter written to a church that he began. I think some of you know that, but at the same time, it helps us understand that not everybody knows where these letters come from. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to the church of Thessalonica. And in this letter, in verse number 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad." So I want you to see here that phrase, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Our theme for the 2018 is by faith. You see, we have our new banners up there. We have our theme banner, we have our missions conference banner that's up, and one says by faith, the other one says by faith missions, because all those themes we've had over the years, from striving together to, like last year, declaring his glory to laboring together, we do all that by faith. It all is encircled in the fact that we trust and have faith in God and God alone to do these works. We can't declare his glory unless we do it by faith. We can't strive together unless we do it by faith, at least if we want him to be pleased. As Brother Parker's song said, I want him to be satisfied with me. I want him to be pleased with me. I don't want to spend our whole entire lives doing and working and working and working. We must learn to take steps by faith. And I try to encourage this that first Sunday afternoon is make sure we're living by faith. No matter what age you're at and what spot you're at and how far and how long you've become in your faith, continue. God wants us to continue to live by faith. And then on Sunday nights, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 throughout the year. And you see where it says, by faith, Abel, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith. They did these things that were remarkable, and they took a step of faith. So I want us to live our lives by faith. I want to live our lives with God in focus and God in mind, and not do always what is comfortable and not always do what is convenient, but live a life that is by faith. So tonight's message is called Modeling Your Faith. Modeling Your Faith. You're going to see in verses 6 through 10, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Thessalonica, and he is praising them for what they've done. He is saying, you have taken this faith thing to a whole new level. And not only have you taken this faith thing to a whole new level, you have modeled your faith and you have demonstrated your faith and you have shown your faith to where others will believe. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And so I like those because it's not just a work, it's a work of faith. It's not just a labor, it's a labor of love. It's not just being patient, we're being patient with hope. So there's the key there that this church of Thessalonica is a remarkable church, is unlike any other church. And as he's writing this letter, he says, in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, which means that their faith has been modeled and has been spread abroad to many people. And we're going to look at some of the different places in here in just a second. Before we get to that, I'd like to think for a second about this word model. The word model has a number of definitions. The Oxford American Dictionary states a system or thing used as an example to follow or imitate. It is a system or a thing used as an example to follow or imitate. A person or thing regarded as an excellent example or a specified quality. Now, there's more than that definition is a model, but what it's referring to is it's an example. It's someone to follow, someone to imitate. It's a person or a thing that is regarded as an excellent example of a specified quality. It's showing you how to do something. There's a story once told about a young preacher. He became pastor of his first church. It's a well-established church. It was an older congregation. He says that the widow ladies there, the older ladies there, kept on coming up to him and telling him that he was a model pastor. And he told his wife that. And then another widow lady, older lady, came up and says, "You're a model pastor." And they kept on saying that, and his wife got tired of hearing it because he was thinking they were calling him a model because he was good looking. And she knows what it was meant, what they were meaning by it. And she looked at her husband and said, "Do you know what the word model mean?" He kind of looked at her and he says, "It means a smaller version of the real thing." And that kind of burst his bubble there a little bit. But the all reality is that's what a model is. Smaller version of the real thing. Ever in school, sometimes they do those planets and you have a scale of the solar system, a model of the solar system, and it's representing what it looks like on the outside, what it looks like, what we can't see. And here, the Church of Thessalonica, they modeled their faith. They showed their faith. They demonstrated their faith. And so this week and next week, we're going to look at five or six things that are different facets of their faith. And it's something that we're supposed to be an example and model our faith. And as I'm thinking, looking at this group, and we're thinking about, as many of us have been saved for many years, and many of us have faith, and we have people who look to us and people who are looking at us, and we model something. There is something that we try to look like and we try to act like, and are we modeling our faith? And we're going to look about that a little bit tonight. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." The Roman believers had become models of faith, just like the Christians in Thessalonica. So let's look here in verses 6 through 10 and look at these things when it comes to modeling their faith and how they modeled their faith. Verse number 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread." Isn't that, that's, I guess, a wonderful testimony that their faith not only had spread hundreds of miles above them, but also had spread throughout the whole entire world. Their faith had spread so that we need not to say anything. Now, they didn't have to try to brag about the Church of Thessalonica. People already knew and had seen and discovered their faith. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So when I see this passage of scripture, and I see that he is saying that their faith toward God, or God toward, is something that is expressed throughout all the world, and it's something expressed from people that are hundreds of miles away, there's something we can learn from them. Because it should be our desire and our interest to model our faith to those that are around us. Now, I'm not saying we should do anything for men. I'm not saying we should do anything for the eyes of men, or for men to see, or for men to be pleased with us, or for men to be satisfied with us. But what I am saying is if we live by faith, then we are going to live a life that will model and show and direct those that are around us how to live by faith, and we will give that expression. We'll be that small image that others can follow, that ensample that others can follow. So tonight I want you to think about some different things about how to model your faith. First thing I want you to see is theirs was a willing faith. It was a willing faith. Look what it says in verse number 6 again. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." They were a willing faith. The word here, follower, means an imitator. In other words, these believers came to imitate the Apostle Paul and came to imitate those that were around him. Now, once again, I'm not saying you should follow after a man. I'm not saying that you should try to imitate a man. But when a man is trying to imitate Jesus Christ, we can say, like the Apostle Paul did, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And sometimes God brings people into our lives that can teach us and that can train us and that can show us. Remember, this is a first generation church. They did not have the completed word of God. Many things in the Old Testament they would not understand, not being Jews. They were learning these things. They were growing. And Paul and the men that were with him modeled their faith. They demonstrated how they were supposed to live. They demonstrated what they were supposed to do. And he said, look, you became followers of us, but more importantly, followers of Jesus Christ. I want to understand something. I'm not asking anyone to follow after me. I'm asking everyone that they would follow after Christ. But for someone to say, I don't follow anybody, that's just not true. There are people who mold us. There are people who direct us. There are people who mentor us. There are people who shape us. And there are people who mold us into who we are today. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's the president of the United States. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a star. You see all those teenagers nowadays. They want to look like a certain star. They want to act like a certain star. They want to dress like a certain star. And many times I look at that and says, what do you think the end's going to be like? What do you think it's going to be like in the end? I remember when Britney Spears first came out and many people thought she was some sweet little girl that sang songs. This is wait and see what she's going to be like in 10 years. And then Miley Cyrus comes out. She even has her own TV show. And they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with the show. There's nothing wrong with it. She's doing wait and see what she's going to turn out in 10 or 15 years. We need to learn to have people that are going to model after wise people will learn to find someone who is Christ-like to model after them. Be someone who will be willing to follow them and be like them as they are like Jesus Christ. They followed their leadership. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I am all, as I also am of Christ. These Christians understood that men of God and ladies of God are a gift from God and that they can learn from other individuals how to act like a Christian when they model their faith, when they give instruction, when they give counsel, when God has given us leadership in our lives. We have faith that God's given us this leadership and we follow that leadership as they follow after Christ. We model that leadership for those that are around us. You say, well, I don't think I should follow. You are a leader in some ways. If you have children, guess what you are? You are a leader. If you're a husband, you're supposed to be a leader of the home. You should be modeling your faith so others. I know older ladies sometimes say, well, the older women of the church are supposed to teach the younger women of the church. Well, they are, but they need to model their faith. It shows in the Bible what they're supposed to be modeling. And sometimes we see how we're not modeling faith. We're modeling how not to do things. So I want you to see in this passage of scripture, the reasons why they had a model of the faith is they were a willing faith. It was willing to follow the leadership of godly leadership, but also follow the leadership of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in the second part. And ye became followers of us. Paul is speaking to this first century church saying, you learned of us. You understood of us. You grew. You followed our leadership. And then he says, and of the Lord, which is most important. Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. All healthy human leadership will point people to divine leadership. A godly pastor, a leader in your life, a mentor in your life will not point you to them. They will point you to Christ. They will say, this is who you want to be like. This is where I may fail, but God is someone you should be looking to. God is someone you should be living for. And I wish I was more like the Apostle Paul that I could say with confidence, be followers me even as I follow after Christ. That should be our desire. We should want to model faith. We should want to live a life that is so faithful and so true. We can look at our wives and we can look at our children and say, as I'm following after God, you can trust in what I'm saying. You can trust in what I'm doing. You can trust in how I'm acting because I am modeling faith for my family to see. I am modeling faith for my next generation to see. The Church of Thessalonica, their faith was to Godward and it was to all the areas. It spread all abroad. And the question is tonight, what are we modeling? And it comes to this point, the first thing he says here, you're willing. You're willing to follow leadership. You're willing to follow Jesus Christ. And a lot of people in their faith, they are willing to do whatever they're asked. as long as they don't disagree with it. Just don't ask me to do something I don't want to do. I'll say amen, I'll keep on going, but if God's word says something different than how I feel, forget it. That's what it's saying here, that they were followers of the Lord. They turned from idols to the one God. They believed in what God's word said. Before they were living for themselves, they were bowing down to idols, and now they're turning to God and they're saying, I want to live like this. That's faith. And I want you to understand tonight that not all of us model what we should when we are not willing to do what God wants. Second thing I want you to see is not only were they willing to follow, they were willing to suffer. And it says here at the end of verse number 6, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They were willing to suffer. Sometimes I wonder if we really truly knew what suffering is. Sometimes I try to understand where my family and I are going through some hassles with health insurance. And I said to my wife today, I says, honey, what about those people that don't have health insurance? And of course she says, well, the government says we have to have it. We don't have a choice. And I said, I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about those that live over in Africa that only doctor they can see is a witch doctor. And I'm not saying, hey, I was being holier than now, because I wasn't the happiest with our health insurance either. And I was saying, what about all those? Would we really be willing to suffer like that? If we live in America, we are privileged people. And I'm not saying that we should feel bad for that, because I think that's wrong when people try to tell you just because you have a mom and dad at home and just because you have the wealth to be able to pay for the things that you, yeah, all those are things you can work. I'm not saying we should feel sorry for that. You know, we should not. You know, God has enabled us and given us the opportunity to do what is right and to live for Him and provide for our needs. We shouldn't feel sorry for that. Sometimes people say, the people that don't work and they're lazy and this and that, and they turn around and say, well, it's not fair, you're privileged. No, that's a whole different lie that's being told in some ways. But be careful with that. But what I'm saying is, would we be willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Many of us will turn around and say, hey, I'll serve Him when things are good. I'll serve Him when it's what I want to do. Some people are really great at doing those ministries they really enjoy doing, and they get the most fun out of doing, but are you willing to suffer? They said that they received the word of God in much affliction. That meant that they came to church when they were being afflicted for hearing the word of God. You say, Pastor, if you listen, you preach. Sometimes that feels like we're feeling affliction. But that's not what I'm talking about. They were getting in trouble for coming to church. We see our auditorium's not full tonight. There aren't many people. No one's going to suffer for coming to church unless, once again, you have to listen to my bad jokes. But besides that, you're not going to, maybe somebody at home might give you a hard time. But are you really willing to suffer affliction? I go through the New Testament and I see these things. And I see people suffering for Jesus' sake. I think of the missionaries that are without, that suffer for Christ's sake. And I see stories about people being shipwrecked in the Bible and people being beaten and people being thrown out of their houses. And over 100,000 people last year got killed just because they were Christians in this world. And they were willing to suffer. They were examples, and they modeled their faith because they were willing to follow the leadership that God had put in their lives. God first and foremost, but then they were willing to suffer if need be. Even if it meant that things weren't going to be easy, even if it meant things were going to be tough, even if it meant that you might have to cost you something someday. Whether a friendship or your life, your family, or your most prized possession. And it says here in verse number 6, they became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Now look at the next phrase, with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were willing to suffer. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says, if you're going to live for God, you're going to face some persecution. And I'm not talking about the persecution we bring upon ourselves. I'm not talking about the persecution because of our personalities or because of things we say or because we don't know how to be quiet sometimes that people say back to us. I'm saying that when we are doing the word of God and the work of God and God's power and God's way, some people are not going to like it and someone's going to afflict you for it. He says, we will suffer persecution. How did their faith model? How in the world did their faith go from being in this little place of Thessalonica to where it was sent out all over the world? It's because they were willing to suffer. Not only do you see in 2 Timothy 3:12, that verse, John 16:33, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, look, in me you can have peace. In the world, there's going to be tribulation. You're different than the world. And you're going to act different than the world. The world's not going to stand up and cheer for you when you make a decision to follow God. Next thing I want you to think about is Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. And this word blessed gives the idea of being happy, being satisfied, being fulfilled when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. He says, when men revile you and persecute you and shall say, all men are evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They were willing to actually suffer for Christ's sake. We don't want to do what we don't want to do for Christ. We don't want to be a witness sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to be faithful. Sometimes we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we don't want to submit. Sometimes we don't want to rejoice. That's why our faith isn't modeled like this church is. And I'm not picking it. I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody else. But what are we modeling to the world? What is it that we're representing and saying, this is what I want you to see in my life? A model of faith gives people a means of seeing faith. When someone sees someone else suffer, yet remain faithful to the Lord and his service, they truly see faith in action. When God sees another individual going through a difficult time and a hard time. How many of us have been inspired by that? I have. We see what someone else is going through and they stay close to their faith. They stay close to their service. They're seeing true faith in action. People are not impressed with a fair weather Christian. They've seen too many of them. People are not impressed when you think when you're serving the Lord when it's convenient and easy to do. They're not going to see that model of your faith. But when they see your dedication, despite what's going on, despite the fact that you're not getting any type of attention, despite the fact that no one respects you, despite the fact that no one else will get glory out of it but God, that's when you're modeling your faith. That's when you're saying, I don't care what the world says. I want to live for God. So what are we showing to that next generation? What are we showing to our families? What are they're saying here, the reason why their faith was spread abroad, as it said in verse number 8, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, that how did this faith of the Thessalonians get there? They were willing. They were willing first to follow. They were willing second to suffer. The second thing I want you to see is theirs was a watched faith. A watch faith. Look what it says in verse number 7. It says, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The word in sample here is a unique one. It appears several times in the Bible, it appears several times in the New Testament. It gives this meaning of a die is struck, a shape, a model for imitation or warning, a pattern. So I know I use all those words because I copied that. I don't know what half of them mean, but I kind of get the idea what it's saying here when it's talking about a pattern. I think about a clothing pattern. Sometimes we had culotte patterns up there for this, so that way they could make clothes out of them. A seamstress pattern is to be cut so you can cut a certain piece of material so it'll be a particular shape every single time. Also refers to a die that can be cut a certain piece of metal and has a certain type of shape, so it makes that shape over and over and over. There's certain things that are made that has to be a certain shape, certain size. There is a shape that begins with as an imprint to start off with. That's what they're saying in verse number 7 they were. They said in verse number 7, you were an ensample. It's the word example. It gives the idea that it is something that is a pattern for someone else to follow, a pattern for someone else to model after. We are challenged to live these kinds of lives. We may not be perfect. Never met anybody perfect. My dad used to say, I've never met anybody perfect, but he felt like he was the closest thing to perfection there was. He used to call himself Mr. Perfect every once in a while. But I knew he was not perfect. We are worthy. It's not the idea that we're going to be perfect. But would you want anyone to imitate you? I'm not saying that we want it. I'm not saying we want people to follow after us. We want people to follow after Christ. But if we're being Christ-like, well, would you want someone to imitate us? That's what they're saying these people did. They lived a life of an ensample. An example to others. We are to live in such a way that people can place our lives besides theirs and match themselves up to us. The ideas, the shapes, the twists and turns in our life, our words, our actions, our responses, our decisions, our priorities, they provide a pattern that will match others, that we want others to match. There are certain things in my life I wish my sons would get from me. There's much more things in my life I wish my son will never pick up from me. For me, it's sobering to think about this, not the question of whether people will use this pattern, because people will learn from you. Those that are around you will learn from you one way or another. The question is, who will use this pattern? Who will take the character that you have, the attitude that you have, the learning that you have, the disposition? Who will take that? Will your children? Will your employer? Will your relatives? Will the kids in your Sunday school class? What kind of pattern do we provide for others? They said in verse number 7 that they were a willing people. They were in samples or examples to those people in these countries. And it says in verse number 8, for from you sounded out what? Our opinions? Our philosophies? No, it says they sounded out the word of the Lord. That is Nick's point, so I don't want to get too far ahead, but there was something that was a pattern there. You say, Pastor, where in the Bible does it say that we're supposed to be examples? It says in verse number 7 they were examples. It's the exact same word that Paul used when he spoke to Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Chapter, you go up to verse number 3, it was a work of faith, it was a labor of love, it was a patience of hope, and it talks about in Revelation chapter number 2, the church of Ephesus, they did work, they labored, they had hope, but they weren't the examples that the church of Thessalonica was. I want you to see not only their example but of the pattern, but also the extent of their pattern. The extent of their pattern reached those that were in Macedonia and Achaia. To give you an idea where they lived at, these cities were located near north of the Mediterranean Sea, where modern-day Greece is currently located. This area is approximately 250 miles wide and 350 miles north to south. It's a huge area, especially when you consider back in Bible times the limitations for travel. But the testimony of the Thessalonian believers had a profound and lasting impact on those in Macedonia and those in Achaia. Now, about 6 years later, Paul writes the book of Thessalonica, is supposed to be maybe the first or one of the first. 6 years later, he writes the Church of Corinth. You know, in the Church of Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, you know who they talk about? They talk about the Church of Macedonia. In Macedonia, and we've heard this passage before when it comes to our grace giving or our faith promise giving. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, here, Paul comes to church. He comes to Thessalonica. He wins these people to the Lord, and they get it. And even after he leaves, he responds by writing, you're an example. When I go through Macedonia, when I go through Achaia, when I go through any other people, people are talking about your faith. People are talking about the afflictions that you have. People are talking about your labor of love. People are talking about your patience of hope. People are talking about your work of faith. They're talking about your testimony. You are modeling faith for all these other churches. And then 6 years later, he writes another passage of scripture to the church of Corinth. He doesn't use Thessalonica as an example, but who does he use? He used Macedonia. He said, what are you getting at? I'm saying because of Thessalonica modeling their faith, it was passed down to someone else. And in Macedonia, he's using the example of the church of Macedonia to the Corinthians. And he's saying, hey, look, this is what the church of Macedonia is doing. This is how they're responding. This is their faith. This is the way that they're giving. And where do they learn it from? They learned it from Thessalonica. I want you to understand that they're modeling their faith. They're demonstrating, they're showing, they're teaching the others around them. They're showing them something. But like I said before, the humbling thing is, what are we modeling today? When I looked at this and thought about it, and as the Lord was working on my heart, I thought, well, when it comes to this area, I'm not modeling a very good impression of faith. When it comes to this area, this is something I could work on. People are picking up on what we're doing. They're picking up when they hear us talk and we don't think anybody cares. They pick up when that's their own problem, that's their own responsibility. No, God told us to be in samples. God has told us to be Timothy. He was saying, be an example to the believers. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to model our faith. Take your Bibles real quick and we're almost done. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians comes after 1 Thessalonians. Everybody got that? So that's pretty easy. But that it's come after because it was written later. Look what it says in verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So you go to chapter 1 and book 1, they're talking about their great faith. You go to chapter 1, and the next letter that was written, they say, we're glad that you're holding the banner high. We're glad that you have not fallen back. We're glad that you have not retreated. We're glad that you're continue on at the same level and at the same pace. That's not what they're saying, is it? They're saying that they have grown in their faith. Brethren, as it says, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. When's the last time your faith grew? That's my goal for this year, for me and for our church, is that we live a life by faith, being a follower of Jesus Christ, looking to him. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I know sometimes when we get to this spot in our lives and we've accomplished some things and we've done some good things and we feel like we're done, we've passed the baton to the next generation, it's up to them to do it. It says that their faith was growing exceedingly. And I'm not saying that we should try to do something that God doesn't want us to do. I'm asking the question, do you have more faith today than you did yesterday? Do you have more faith than you did last year? Because we're modeling something to that next generation. We're modeling something to that person we live with. Are we teaching them how to have a bad attitude? Are we teaching them how to have a good attitude? Are we teaching them how to win people to Christ, or are we teaching them how to only reach certain people? What is it that we're modeling? What is it that we're demonstrating? What is it that we're showing? Verses 6 through 10, there's some secrets in here, I believe, that helps us understand how we can model our faith to those that are around us. And the first one is, are you willing? Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to suffer? And the second one I see is, consider the extent there of their faith. Consider what they're going after. Consider what their impression. Remember that it is a watched faith. People are watching you. People are seeing how you respond. They might not ever see it, but people are watching to see how you do things. They see you when you walk away and do not respond to a situation. They see it when you treat something and handle something godly. They see it when you ignore things. They see all these things. It's a watched faith. Because here it says in the Bible that their faith was spread abroad. How did that happen? Someone watched it, someone heard it, someone experienced it, and they passed it on. If someone was watching you, what would you be modeling today? I'm not talking about your clothes, obviously. I'm talking about your faith. What type of faith are we modeling for those that are around us? I learned some things going to church. I learned some things growing up going to church. As a child, I watched people in a business meeting not act very Christ-like. And I thought that's the way all business meetings were. I don't know, maybe you've never experienced that before, but I've watched people yell at each other inside business meetings. Can you believe that? Inside of a church, they would get up and yell at one person across the other room, and I'm thankful we don't have that spirit here. I'm thankful it's not like that. As a child, I watched people do things that were not scriptural. I knew that so-and-so didn't want to talk to so-and-so, and that's why they sat on their sides of the church. They modeled something to me. You know what they modeled? You don't have to be friends to everybody. You don't have to love everybody. I know what the Bible says. As a child, when I saw people not be faithful, I learned, hey, I don't have to go to church all the time. Thankfully, there was other people in my life that were always faithful. Thankfully, there was other people in my life that taught me how to be a soul winner. Thankfully, there was other people in my life that modeled what a Christian home looked like. I'm still thankful for the person who taught me what Christian dating was supposed to be like. That is a thing. There is a proper way to find another mate. To find a mate. I guess that's a better way to put it. Another thing that many people modeled, it was marriage wasn't that important. You know, things like that. I learned a lot of things. Now, is my own faith something that's between me and God? It is. I'm going to stand before God for me and what I've done with the things I've learned. I can't blame it on that person that wasn't faithful. I can't blame it on that person that had a bad attitude. I can't. But I am going to be judged according to the opportunities I had and the attitude how I did things. And I have been given much going to church all my life. I've been given much with the opportunities I had to read the Bible. Not just the times I read it, the opportunities I had to read the Bible and the opportunities I had to be a witness and the opportunities I had to pray. I have much that I had to stand before God for someday. How have I modeled that? What have I passed? Do my sons see a godly father, someone that they want to be like? What am I modeling? And we like to use that for me as an example because I want to talk about myself. But that's for all of us. What are we showing to that next generation? They said in verse number 8, which is such a wonderful and powerful testimony in verse number chapter 1, it says, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. I don't care if anybody else doesn't know, but the people I come in contact with. I want them to see Christ in me. I'll tell you the story, and I'll finish with this. And I don't want anybody to think I'm tooting my own horn, because there's a lady, she doesn't come to church. She told me one time, she says, I think you're the godliest person I know. That's a great compliment. Then I found that she talked bad about me. She said one thing to me, which of course makes your head really blowing up. And then she disagreed with me and talked bad about me also. You say, what are you modeling? To me, that doesn't help. To me, it's we should live a certain life inside and out, not be hypocritical. And when we see areas of our life, we should not say, that's just how I am, I can't change. That's not the truth. God can help us change anything. We're new creatures. We're not bound by that sin anymore. And we go to God and say, God, I don't want to be like this. I don't want my wife to have to go through this. I don't want my husband to have to experience this. I don't want the church family to have to see this. I want to be a person who models faith. Not models whatever comes to my mind. I want to demonstrate faith. I think we got a wonderful church family. A lot of huge blessings. But what do we model? Ask yourself that tonight. Next week when we come back, we're going to look at the word of God they modeled. And we're going to look at some different other things found in verses 9 and 10, their work that they modeled, and different things that made their faith known abroad. And are we willing people? Are we realizing that our faith is being watched? Realizing that people, when they see us, they're learning something from us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with